Welcome in, everybody, to the Looking Both Ways podcast. As always, I'm your host, Pastor Tim. Sorry about that. I'm Pastor Tim, and I'm alongside Pastor Rich. We're here to talk about some stuff. We had a great weekend this past weekend. We've got a very full weekend of stuff happening in our building at the tail end and into this weekend. And then holidays coming up. Veterans Day is coming up. Thanksgiving is coming up. Depending on your religious bent, it's either Christmas already or it will be Christmas in a couple of weeks. Whatever you believe. I know for my family, they're definitely wanting to decorate right now. But that's not what we're talking about. Our church hasn't decorated yet, so I guess it's not officially Christmas. We haven't done Christmas music yet, but Pastor Rich, how are you? And how was this past weekend? What did you want us to really take away from this past weekend?
Let's see here. This last weekend, well, first of all, no, it's not Christmas yet. I did visit somebody this week who has already put up their Christmas trees and decorated their house, but we will not be doing that here. We do usually do that the week of Thanksgiving, you know, so we'll put that off for a couple of weeks. But this week was really, you know, really good, just in the sense of this week was more talking about how to be an imitator of God. And that looking back on it for me, I wish I'd have split it up into probably two or three sermons instead of just one big one. There's just a lot to cover in there, but it was really just the idea of Paul's challenge to us. It's that we are to be imitators of God, and especially within our community of one another and how we relate to one another and out in the world that we live in. We are God's ambassadors on this planet, and we need to take that seriously. And it takes that seriously through not only the title that we can give ourselves by that thing, but also how we love one another, how we talk to one another, how we communicate and do all of those things, which Paul emphasizes in Ephesians 4 and 5. We're supposed to live worthy of the manner, and now we're supposed to imitate God. And a lot of people don't think they can imitate God, but you can. And that's what we're called to do. It's not a choice. I guess it's a choice. It's a choice to obey God or not obey God when it comes to that. So that's what he talked about, is how to be an imitator of God and how to be that. So he got really in the weeds this week about things that we all struggle with, you know, especially when it comes to the area of the tongue. And with that as well, but also grieving the Holy Spirit, which I didn't really get a chance to touch on too much because it was near the end. And we talked about that at the end of 4, but it really comes to all of this stuff and how we do that. The Holy Spirit is always with us. And so when we live the way he empowers us to live, that brings God a smile. When we don't, God is still there, but it brings a frown. Let's just be honest about that. And that's kind of really what I wanted to get to this, like, we are to be imitators of God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you said you wanted to break it up into multiple, multiple sermons, but that's the beauty of having this, this podcast, right? Where, right. If you didn't get to go into anything a little bit, as much as you wanted to, or maybe there's something that you didn't get to say that you wanted to, that's why we have this. And so I'm glad that we have this resource. So,
There's like so much in there. I mean, walking wise, I mean, we're doing this on a Wednesday post-election. no matter who you wanted to win or not win, and I'm not here to get into all that. It's just, we're supposed to be wise as Christians in spite of all of that. And we can be, because at the end of the day, when they let the Spirit guide us and lead us, that dictates our character. And also for us, Jesus is still king, no matter who's in the Oval Office. And we can take him as opportunities to be wise, or we can be unwise in however we want to view all of that. And, you know, having had some discussions with some, you know, people watching some things on the news, some people are just choosing not to be very wise and just either be victorious or in a dirge of a lament about the results of whatever didn't go their way. I mean, we even as followers of Jesus here in California, we have things that we could be frustrated about and that way, but you know, Jesus is still king. Jesus is still ruling. Jesus is still in charge. So.
Yeah. Well, and again, we might have a president, but we have a king that sits above him. So
that's right.
Regardless of who you voted for, or if it turned out the way that you wanted to, or whatever. I mean, I guess it's not technically done, right?
Yeah, not till December 3rd, I think, is when they certify.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of things like, well, no, it's not technically done. And but yeah, regardless of who is in the Oval Office, you know, one thing that I remind people of is, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there that would say, oh, well, if we had a Christian president, that would solve our problems. Well, look at what happened to the nation of Israel when they had a leader who had direct contact with God in Moses. They still wandered away and did things that they weren't supposed to. But then at the same time, look at how God used bad leaders like Nebuchadnezzar and those kinds of leaders throughout history as well. So I think if you have the right theology, obviously you want to vote for the right values and things like that, but you shouldn't have this a doomsday mentality, because again, there's a God that's seated above any ruler that's in authority here on earth. So
the other thing that's really cool that we didn't really get a chance to touch on too much because it was near the end was, he talks about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and just it really the context there is how when we worship together, it just enforced the fact from Paul's perspective that when we gather to worship and singing and do all that part of it, our participation is vital to everybody else in the room. And that's why he says that. You are an encouragement to others when you worship. We encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs when we see each other, not only just to say, hi, how you doing? Good to see you. Love you, bro. All that stuff. But when we get together and worship as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's, he says that we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to sing from the heart to the Lord. And it's a witness and encouragement to everybody else. And we give thanks in everything because God has given us everything. It's just, it's such an uplifting thing. And it's why, you see it. You're up there every Sunday. I'm up there every Sunday. Or sometimes I'll stand in the back. And there's just, it's just interesting to me how people don't realize that their participation really does matter in the worship service for all the ways that Paul just described.
Yeah. Well, and again, worship is not just music. You know, it's always important to remember that, you know, I think you made the point, but everybody worships something, you know? And when you direct your attention to something other than God and his purpose, his plan, it's probably not going to turn out well for you, but that doesn't mean that God's, you know, picking on you or being a bully. That probably just means that he is trying to get you back to him. Right. And we see that plenty of times in scripture. So it was a really great weekend. I mean, as always, I took notes, right? If you're not a note taker, I encourage you, to do that. But one of my favorite quotes from Sunday, which there was a lot of things that we talked about, right? Imitate the light, right? Imitate all the different things. But I think my favorite quote was, I don't know who says this. I don't think you actually told us who says this quote, or if you know, I've had more fun with God by accident than the world's had with alcohol on purpose. I like that quote.
I don't think that's original to the one I heard it from, but I actually originally heard that years ago from Jerry Vines, who was the pastor of First Baptist Jacksonville for years.
Okay.
Say that in a sermon. That's always one of those lines that's always connected. It was a sermon that he was given. The context of the point was talking about alcohol, like we were talking about, and doing that. And so, that's the point. I mean, don't get drunk with wine and, you know, Paul's pretty clear. Don't get drunk and with wine, and for all the reasons that, you know, that they, it's just bad for you.
I think what that speaks to, though, you know, obeying and following and being imitators of God and all that stuff. There's a lot of people that can think, oh man, like there's just no fun in that at all. Like we just have to be goody goodies and follow all the rules and we don't get to have fun. But man, I personally, there's a reason why God wants you to do those things. It is better for you, you know? Yeah. And there are so many stories of people chasing after things that they think are fun And then eventually you get to the end of that road and it's not fun at all. I mean, there's so much more life. I mean, as Jesus said, abundant life, right? When you follow after him and his purposes. And that's why I like that quote of, man, I've had more fun following God, by accident, you know, and again, just expecting him to move. So I really liked this past weekend. Again, just very practical. And I think Ephesians is very practical. You know, it's deep in theology, but it's also very practical. So
it's the greatest book on the church. I mean, Corinthians has it. They're dealing with a lot of stuff in Corinthians. But for me, the total picture of the gospel lived out with its culmination is totally reflected in the book of Ephesians. And it's a great synopsis of the Christian life as a whole. There's hardly an area you don't touch or can't touch on from the book of Ephesians. It just speaks so much to who we are in Christ, what God has done for us, and how we're supposed to live in light of that. And that's just really important for us to think about and to go through. Infinitely practical. I always get interested because people just, again, we have low expectations of ourselves because we hear this and we're just like, oh, and it's like, you know, God's not sitting there. He's not whipping us over the head when we blow it. You know, he's just not. We're still his child. He does want us to confess and then repent, which means change your attitude. It leads to a change of behavior and move on and live in the victory that he empowers us to have. You know, I had this discussion yesterday in my doctoral seminar and I had to present a couple times yesterday. There is no spiritual transformation or formation for that matter without the Holy Spirit, period. I firmly, firmly believe that. And allowing God to work through us through the Holy Spirit is the key to living victoriously in this world that we live in. Because we've already proven to ourselves we can't do it on our own. That's why we came to Jesus. And so if we can't do it on our own, and we need Jesus to do that, then we need to let Jesus do that. We need to let the Spirit do that. And to say that I can't is to say you're right, but then you're wrong, because if you're a Christian, you can. He empowers us to live victoriously. All of us need to remind ourselves of that every single day, because the world is just going to keep inundating us with beating the daylights out of us about this, that, or the other. That's the warfare we face, and we don't get to warfare for another couple weeks. So we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, where are we going? You know, as we head into this coming weekend, you know, it's technically a holiday weekend. We've got Veterans Day coming up and all that. But what do you want people to be prepared for as we enter into this coming weekend? You know, I know Jonathan is actually preaching, but I'm sure you know where he's headed in general.
Right. And so Paul continues in Ephesians 5. It's the passage that, it's the marriage passage. And we have to, it's Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. Some would say it's 22 through 33, but it's hard not to put Ephesians 5, 21, submitting to one another out of love for one another and out of fear of Christ. That ties to 22 to 33. And I hate that our Bibles, most of our Bibles separate it in that way, because Paul is talking about the church and using marriage as the metaphor for the church. Now, we use it, and I'm sure Jonathan will do this, to talk about marriage and the roles, responsibilities, what that means, and plays that out. And I asked him to do this one because, you know, he's been married now a couple of years. He's got a kid. It'd be interesting for a younger guy to give his perspective on what that looks like, because it really is something different, and he'll do a great job with that. But it's really, when you look at the marriage and you try and explain it from a Christian perspective from the scriptures, it's a picture of the church. It's a picture of the Trinity. It's a picture of us together. It's husband, wife, Holy Spirit, moving closer to God. It's the Trinity of making all of that work. And so I'm pretty sure he'll cover at least most of that type of thing. And I always tell people with this passage, as I preached it for weddings several times, it was preached at my wedding, you know, 24 and a half years ago or whatever it was. Yeah, 24 and a half years ago. For a guy, it's whether or not you're willing to die for your spouse. And for your wife, it's whether or not you're willing to live for your husband. And wherever that works out, that's the place we're all trying to get to every single day as we live out our thing called marriage. Because marriage is a complete, especially when you start having kids, marriage is a complete denial of self.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You have to do it every single day. So that's where he's going this week. We got a couple baptisms this week. I believe we do. Truth be told, I thought they were last week, so I had them fill it last week. So it's been filled for a week.
Yeah. But we'll get them. You know, I thought it was last week too, but you know.
That's good. I'm okay with that. At least it's filled. It's ready. Anybody else wants to be baptized, just call and let us know. And there's arrangements are easy to do. We're just going to ask you if you know Jesus is Lord and walk through the gospel and confirm all that. But that's easy to go with that as well. So the other little things going on around the campus as well, whether it's, you know, all the other things that are going to peak this weekend with the students here in house. I'm doing a funeral Saturday. Spanish are doing a dinner thing Friday night for their Bible studies ending for their home studies that they've just ended for the holiday season that they do as well. So it's actually, I thought it was gonna be a pretty quiet weekend around this building, but it's really not going to be that way after all.
Yeah, no. And I mean, what's so great is our church really is stepping up and for being the youth pastor, I really appreciate the amount of people that are stepping up to help us do this weekend. And whether it's with the food or whatever, maybe it's going to be a really special weekend. So if you're listening to this podcast, take some time, say a prayer for these students. We actually have a lot more students that can come. We're going to try and get even more tonight because it's significantly less expensive for us. But where we're heading, the thing, actually, I'm wearing the hat. Look at this. Here we go. There you go. That's the theme. WWJD.
Charles Sheldon is cringing.
Yeah. So, but again, you know, that I grew up in the 90s and it was all of the bracelets with the WWJD. What would Jesus do? And here's the reality. The reason why we're doing that theme is just because, we can't really answer that question. Not many people in the church can honestly answer that question because you have to know Jesus in order to answer that question. And we have a lot of twisted ideas of who Jesus is. And that's not new to our day. It was happening in Jesus's day. And so we're looking at that passage and really the three parts that we're looking, well, four parts is who do people say Jesus is? What does the Bible say about Jesus? What does that mean for you? And then ultimately we'll end Saturday night with who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? And, you know, as you look at scripture and you see people that had a true encounter with Jesus, all of them had a massive impact on their life. And so how do you know that somebody had a true impact with the real Jesus? You see an impact on their life. You get impacted by something and it sends you in a different direction. And so I'm looking forward to this weekend. I'm really prayerful. And hey, we're making it work. I got to tell you, talking about spiritual warfare, we've had so many flaming darts coming at us because of Peak this year. This is year four of Peak. And I will tell you, I'm not letting him win. And like, we're even going to have people over at our house tomorrow night, helping us make the shirts. Not tie dye. No, they'll be good. They'll be good. Good quality. Okay. I've had to just call a lot of audibles, but I will not let Satan win. So pray for the students this weekend, if you have a chance. And, if you want to know more about what we're talking about this weekend, just let me know. It's a big weekend and I feel like we say that a lot, but we have a lot going on in our church. And hey, while you're listening, November 24th at 4 PM, be here, for the annual meeting. We're hopefully, knock on wood, we're hoping, that we're going to have some big news to pass and discuss and all that kind of stuff. So be here for that. And then I'll obviously stick around for the food and the worship as well for Koinonia Night, as we have that coming up. So
yeah, it'll be great. It's my favorite one of the year.
Yeah.
I've actually recruited guys to help me with the turkeys this year. So I got like five guys, each one's doing a turkey.
And perfect.
So we're going to, instead of a chili cook-off, it'll be a turkey off. Although we've tried to do that before, once you start cutting up bird and people start eating it, they don't care.
Yeah. We don't know what the difference is. Is it dry? If it's not dry, then I'm okay with it. So, well, hey, thanks again, Pastor Rich. Thank you all for listening. I love how people use this podcast. And, you know, it has its own purpose, but I've met people that say, oh, they just listen to it when they're working out, when they're exercising, or, you know, while they have a short commute to work, it's a quick podcast. And that's the hope. It's our hope is that this will help carry you from Sunday to Sunday, with the right focus. Obviously you can't use this as church, as we've learned, but we hope that it really does deepen, and broaden, the learning and the growth, for you all as you listen to this, whether you're down there in Lima, Peru, which we've seen, or random people, if you're listening out in Russia or whatever we've seen, or maybe you're here in Hesperia, we appreciate you taking the time to do this with us. So thank you again, Pastor Rich, for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. And this is the Looking Both Ways podcast. I'm Pastor Tim with Pastor Rich. And maybe we'll get Jonathan on next week with us to kind of talk about some stuff from this coming Sunday. So also, as always, just click on the video. I think it shows up in this area right here. Click on that video. That's last week's sermon if you didn't get a chance to listen to it. So that way you're ready for Sunday. So
sounds good. All right, awesome. Man.
All right. Well, you guys all have a great rest of your week, and we will see you all on Sunday. This is Looking Both Ways podcast, signing off.